Hey, hey, everybody. Kevin here with Pursuing Pixels, and welcome back to another edition of Save It for the Cast. And you know the drill by now. I'm going to be kicking the ball over to John, Randall, and I in just a little bit. This time, a little bit of video games chit-chat, kind of leaning off of John's recent Jedi Fallen Order experience, although I think we're going to be, I don't think he's actually talked about that on the podcast proper yet, although we have recorded the episode, so that will be coming out soon if it's not out already. I'm pretty sure we haven't put that one out just yet, but yeah, we talk a little bit about that, like kind of playable quote-unquote cutscenes or loading scenes, and then we kind of get into some old-school kind of toys and board games and stuff like that. This one's one of those more like collage-y episodes, so a couple like short snippets of conversations coming up, and then some of the stuff that I've been playing lately. I've actually just been going kind of ham, picking up, I think I've mentioned this a few times recently on some of the Save It for the Cast and even maybe podcast episodes proper, but I've been just kind of like going through my Switch wish list, and anytime there's something on sale for like $2, $3, $4, $5, depending on what the normal price tag is, but basically if it's like $2, I'm gonna snag it or delete it off my wish list if I don't think I'm actually gonna ever get around to picking it up. But I've actually picked up a couple of games that I think we talked about on the podcast a long, long time ago. One game is called Glyph, and I scooped that up for $2. And I think the original normal price was $20, but I saw that even the full price came down to $10. Maybe I'm just misremembering that. But I played this a little bit on PC. The developers were kind enough to send us a copy a long while back, and it wasn't running great on my laptop. It's a 3D platformer, so I just was like, okay, this is a really cool game, but I never got super far into it. And saw that it was on sale for $2. So I was like, I kind of forgot that it was even on Switch. So I picked up I saw that there was a demo. So I downloaded that, checked that out real quick. And I was like, okay, it runs pretty smooth. I mean, I'm sure it runs and looks better on other platforms, but I was like, it's good enough for me. So I'll scoop this up and played a little bit more than I had played, like played through the whole tutorial section and then a tiny bit more, maybe like 3, 4, 5 more stages. And the tutorial section is actually pretty long. So I gotta say, this game is just absolutely awesome stuff. It's one of my favorite 3D platformers I've played in a little while. It's kind of like I know Randall's talked about this game Marble It Up a few times on the podcast, or a number of times on the podcast, and it kind of feels similar to that, although that's a game that I haven't played, but like Monkey Ball-esque, if you're familiar with those kind of controls. Like, you really have a great sense of momentum. But on top of that, with this game, you're also able to jump. And then in certain times or in certain situations, if you're able to touch like a charge jump pad, and I might just be repeating myself from what I've said about this game in the past. But again, it was a long time ago on the podcast. But yeah, when you touch these like energized pads, those give you like a double jump. And one thing that's cool is your jump or double jump recharges anytime you touch like a safe surface. And otherwise, if you touch like the sand or any like lava or any, I don't know, there's a few other like kind of obstacles or other things you can touch that can kill you, but basically you got to stay on like the path that there is. And actually at the beginning of the game, in the tutorial, they don't allow you to jump. It kind of eases you into the different mechanics. So then on top of the double jump, you can do this like kind of like glide mechanic. You kind of play as this like roller ball, like beetle scarab kind of mechanized robot thing. It's a really cool, like, I don't know, there's kind of like ancient, you know, hieroglyphic kind of stuff going on. It seems, you know, most of the stages take place in the desert. There's some daytime and some nighttime stuff going on. It's got a really cool visual aesthetic and everything as well, but there's some great like time trial stages. It's definitely like a very good for speed running and stuff like that. And it just so immediately feels like the way you can be mid-air, whether you're doing like the glide or just a regular jump or a double jump or whatever it is, like the way you can like kind of pull back mid-air and like land on this one specific spot that you're trying to land on. Not to say that it's particularly easy. It definitely gets pretty tough. Now that I was getting a little bit further into the game, I was like, okay, this is really, really tricky. But one of the things that's actually really nice, if you keep trying a stage again and again, like any of the coins you collect on a stage, you'll actually get to keep those. You just have to go and back and get the keys. And there's any number, you know, between, there's always at least one key on a stage, but there's up to, so far I've seen up to 3, I think. And then once you collect all those, it opens like the portal at the end of the stage. But then once you collect all the coins on a stage, there's like a golden scarab that you can collect. And then there's some other secrets. Like, the stages have tons and tons of goodies on top of like being a good game for just like speed running. You know, you could just ignore the coins all together to a degree, maybe once you unlock all the stages, because you actually have to use the coins to purchase the stages to like unlock them. So the way that I tend to play these kind of games, I just go for everything on the stage, or at least as many things as I can. But yeah, this game is just absolutely awesome. Like the whole time while I was playing it, I played like at the first like half hour or so. And I was just like, this game is just amazing. Every new thing they threw at me. And another really cool thing too is like, your jump recharges every time you touch a safe surface. So you can even like kind of climb up walls, because every time you bang against a wall, your jump recharges. And you can also like, you know, hop and skip and touch the ground and then wait to use your jump. You don't have to actually be touching the ground to jump. It's just such a cool game. You can also do this like ground pound mechanic that you can then, if you jump immediately after that, get like way more hang time. And there's certain pads that can really launch you when you do that. It's just such an awesome, awesome game. Really taking like the Super Monkey Ball, you know, formula and really running with it and doing something new and fresh. It's really, really fantastic. And then another game that we talked about ages and ages ago on the podcast, I'm pretty sure it was like DJ and I talking about the demo of this game, and it's called Jet Cave Adventure, and that's cave with a K. And this is a 2.5D platformer, and I really don't know what it is about this game that speaks to me. It's not like the most impressive game in any particular way, although I will say that's not to diminish the you know presentation or anything like that. It's got a nice, you know, visual style. I don't always love like the 2.5D look, especially when it's done in like a more of like a clean, you know, not done in any particularly stylized, cel shaded, you know, Beautiful Joe kind of way or anything like that. But nonetheless, it's kind of got like a little bit of like a Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, or, you know, Returns kind of flavor to it. It's a little more fast paced than that. And I think that's kind of what I like about it. It's one of those games, like when I play a platformer, I just like to kind of like run to the right at all times. And this game kind of almost forces you to do that. But you do have like a club, and there's actually quite a bit of exploration too. And as you get a little bit further into the game, and again, when DJ and I had just played the demo of this game, I don't think that we got to a point where you unlock the jetpack, but you eventually get that, and you can, you know, use that as like kind of like a double jump. You can cling to these walls. There's all sorts of different like climbing mechanics, both on like the, you know, 2.5D side of things, like just grabbing onto like a ledge, but also like grabbing onto like lips of things in the background, and your character kind of like, you know, turns its back as if it's like climbing a ladder or something. I don't know exactly how to describe that, but it's like just a few different ways to climb. And most enemies, you can just kind of hit them in one hit, just smash them with your club. You can, with the different, like, I think they're just like little puka shells or something that you can collect on the stages. You can use those to buy different upgrades, like more energy for your jetpack, or longer reach for your club. I can't remember what some of the other things were. And there's like a hidden golden statue on each stage. Like there's been some really cool stages so far. Like there was one, actually two stages now, where a mammoth was just like chasing me. And it's just like, again, like almost like that auto runner, you know, you're in full control. You can go back, you can backpedal, you can not in this particular stage where the mammoth is chasing you, or the mastodon or whatever it is. But on most stages, you can like, you know, go back around. And there's some really cool, actually some of the later stages, there was like this kind of waterfall kind of situation going on in that stage. And the music is pretty nice. It's just nothing like that overly stands out, where I'm just like, oh man, you got to check out the visuals or the music. But it's definitely, everything is done really well. And yeah, it's normally a $20 game, but it was on sale for $2. So I was like, okay, I've had this in my wish list forever. I need to finally scoop this up. There was even a really cool like paragliding stage that took a little bit of getting used to. Actually on the back of the like cave, they like kind of paint some of the control tutorial stuff for you, and it kind of looked like it was telling you to use up and down to steer, but actually you had to use left and right to steer, to maneuver your paraglider up and down. It was sort of a little bit confusing in that situation, but nonetheless, there's, you know, pretty generous on the checkpoints, especially in that situation. Like when you just dove into like a pit, you just kind of like respawned at like a good height, kind of mid-level, and got back into the action. But yeah, I just really, really was enjoying that one. And then I actually just finished, right before sitting down to record this intro here, playing a little bit of this game, Anarchute. This one was a little bit more expensive at $3. But yeah, another one that was just sitting in my wish list for quite a while. I think it's normally $15 or something like that. I'm not 100% sure. But at $3 again, I was like, no brainer. This one kind of feels inspired by like Wonderful 101, and then maybe like a little bit of even like Jet Set, Jet Grind Radio, especially with the music. It feels like a little bit of like almost like a Go Team vibe to the music, especially in like the opening title screen and stuff like that. But yeah, you're just like running around and you start with like two or three kind of like little animal rioters, and it's like a super adorable 3D top down ish game. I mean, I guess it's just like a 3D action game in general, and the camera can get a little bit wonky at times, especially as you like just run around and recruit more animal rioters to join your squad. You basically just have to run up to them, and then they just join your party and just start running around with you, and then you're just controlling it like as if you're controlling one single character, and just running around with the left joystick and right joystick to kind of whip the camera around. And as you recruit more rioters to your squad, you can start doing new abilities. Like there's like a, you know, you can hold down A to do like a stomp to kind of launch enemies out of the way. When you recruit even more, you can start like knocking down buildings, and there'll be even like more of your potential rioters that you can recruit like kind of stuck in the windows of buildings. So you can be like, oh, let me knock that building down and get them on my squad. And then there'll be like just a bunch of like cop bots that are like roaming around that you just have to either like mash B to attack them. You can kind of do this like dodge roll to obviously get out of the way. There's like lasers all over the place. Again, it's very, very inspired by Wonderful 101, or at least I would have to think so. But it's very much its own thing. It's got it's doing like, you know, it just feels like a beat 'em up kind of gameplay. You can pick up pretty much anything in sight just by running into it. You can pick up cars and just start whipping them. And they explode, knock down different doors to open new pathways. And there's a great little mini map that you can pull up and enlarge at any moment to see where, you know, the other rioters that you can recruit or where the other flags that you need to capture. Basically, there's just on most stages, there's just like a handful of flags that you need to like just go over to them and take down all the cops that are kind of like guarding it and like attached to it. They're kind of like tethered to that flag. And then once you take them all down, it becomes your, you know, you raise one of your anarchute flags and then take it down. And it's kind of very arcadey, like in that very Platinum Games kind of flavor, although it's, you know, it's very indie, more like a cel shaded style, although it's got a very great presentation as well and a great, great sense of energy. But it's very, you know, at the end of each stage, you're getting a ranking like an A for the number of, you know, or the time and the number of cops you took down and just the overall ranking and stuff like that. It's just a really great game, again, with a ton of energy. And I'm just really glad I've been just kind of plowing through and scooping a bunch of these games up on Switch. Another game that I actually snagged that actually just came out from a developer that I've been a pretty big fan of. And I think this is their first game on consoles. Their name is Sinclair Strange, and the name of the game is Crypt Stalker. And I believe they're working on a patch for this one. That's the only reason I haven't done a stream for this one just yet. But it's very much like NES Castlevania game inspired, like Castlevania 1-3, but much more fast paced. Like you are just like ripping through these stages, and the kind of one different twist, at least so far that I've come across, is that you can there's like a little like kind of grappling hook with your whip. There's like these, you know, little things that you can grab and kind of swing along. They're kind of like almost like scripted little swinging events. I can't tell if you get any like real momentum or if you can go back and forth on them. It seems like you just kind of like jump right off of them immediately. And then you can kind of switch to like, or switch between your regular kind of like whip weapon or like a gun. And you can get a bunch of different guns actually. So it's just really fun, really fast paced. It's really cool to play like a Castlevania style game, but that you're just like running, even I was going to say almost like more like Mega Man X style, I guess, because you can really just like rock and roll in this game. And it just feels like so, so retro in the best way. And I've scooped up a few other games and even fired up a little Mario Golf and Mario Tennis on the Game Boy Color. They just added those to the Nintendo Switch. I think the Game Boy stuff is just the regular online service. I can't remember if that's part of the expansion pass or not. I think that's just the Game Boy Advance stuff. But I just wanted to give a quick shout out to those soundtracks, I guess, because I just fired those two games up for about 5 or 10 minutes and was like, holy shit, these tunes are just absolutely amazing. But yeah, I think I've done enough rambling at this point, so I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to John Randall and I for a little movie chit-chat, some TV edits and stuff like that. Like I said, not as much video game chit-chat on this one, but why don't I kick it over to John Randall and I, and until next week, we'll catch you then, and take care.
I wrote something. That was the other thing. Was like, I didn't really want to. I hadn't finished Jedi Fallen Order, and I really wanted to finish it before I like talked about it on the podcast because I didn't want to talk about it when it was incomplete. And sure. I was like, oh,
I can't believe you're still playing that based on what you were saying before.
Yeah,
I know. I just, something's in me. Something wrong is with me. But yeah, like
it's
just
that hardcore gamer in you.
That's right.
The idea of like how Jedi Fallen Order is like just this massive, like it feels like a Star Wars movie in that there's so much money put into it. There's mm-hmm. so much like stuff like put on things that look good.
Yeah.
And like, oh,
which one is Fallen Order? The one that was kind of like the Uncharted-esque.
It was the because they made like a sequel to it too, right? There's yeah.
No, it's third. It's third person. It's like
a single player adventure yeah. game, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It really is. I think just Sekiro. Where
yeah, that's more what I meant. Yeah, I remember them saying like, oh, it's kind of like Dark Souls combat, you know.
Yeah, I was like comparing it to Uncharted things. Because like there are the first couple segments are like where it's teaching you controls. It's like, oh, you jump on this thing and then that breaks and then you have to go to a different area and you have to like you're right. learning all the mechanics and like it that continues through the rest of the game where it's like, all right, let's like crouch through this hallway and while you're doing that like your character and other characters are gonna like give like the plot of the game uh-huh. and it's like yeah. just tell it to me like
because no, they gotta load the next section and they're trying to mask it from you don't you know?
I know but like I hate that I hate that method of delivery. I would rather you just show a cutscene.
Yeah
like
yeah yeah
it is technically impressive how you are like having the camera follow your character and it's seamless, even though you're
seamlessness,
still,
yeah.
you're still controlling them, even though it's not functionally really. Walking through a hallway.
Right.
Yeah. Like in those like Tomb Raider games where it's just like, okay, I'm literally just pushing forward while I like shimmy through these crevices.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And like it looks cool once, but like, yeah, when you're doing it multiple times,
and if
the game,
you die
like,
and have to do the section over again
yeah,
and there's
exactly.
no dialogue there, then it's just a long, shitty hallway. And I'm like,
or if it redoes the dialogue and you have to listen to it
yeah.
over and over again, like,
which is why, like, I was kind of making the comparison in my head about like it to Monster Hunter, where like Monster Hunter is mm-hmm. on the same as like Balatro. It's just UI. It's UI and gameplay. And there's like basically nothing else to it. And like, yeah. you have to just learn
direct
the language of it.
Yeah.
But once you mm-hmm. do, then there's no barrier between you and the gameplay.
Right.
And that's yeah. kind of what I prefer, mm-hmm. unless it's something like Paratopic that is so explicitly cinematic and like the point of you being a controlling character in the scene is to give you a different perspective on the scene, not
yeah, yeah.
giving you the illusion of moving forward or having player control while the background cutscene plays.
Like, I guess I'll give like EA even a little bit of a break on this, which I'm not want to do for EA in particular. But there's so much baggage around the mythical Star Wars single player campaign experience game. Like we've been waiting on this for 20 years of failed or yeah. canceled game development, right?
And I will give them
some
that.
Of those N64
like they are
games.
Delivering the most interesting Star Wars thing I've seen in decades.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
At the very least, I was like, damn, I actually care about Star Wars a little bit. I thought mm-hmm. they had beaten that out of me. And I'm like still kind of surprised that I give a shit about this. But at
that's
the same
cool.
time, it's still like just a little too toothless. Mm. Like there's a section right at the beginning. I guess I'm fucking talking about this game. where like there's like the pilot character and he's like, oh, I don't trust droids. And then like in two sentences, he's like, you know what? Droids are okay. And I'm like, this sucks. Like, this is shitty storytelling. Like,
what if I told you that yeah. all the dad Star Wars shows are not too far off from that in the first place? And it's
I
kind
know.
Of holding true to that.
It's like we're going to introduce.
That sounds like George Lucas wrote the script.
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
I've got a lot of fucking thoughts about.
So you hate character development, John? Is that what you're saying?
I'm a busy man. I can't see character development take place over weeks or something. It needs to happen in the same setting that it was established.
Otherwise, you'll forget that he said he hates droids.
Oh, God. Yep.
Oh, man.
They're designing it for dads. I don't know what
they're designing it for like the dad who's like distracted by their kids while they're like doing something. Like,
correct.
I just had a dad call the other day and he's like as soon as I answer the phone, TDR orthodontics, Kevin speaking. And he's like, hey, quiet down back here. And he's like, hey, we got an appointment later today. He's like, my wife went out of town. We're just going to have to reschedule that for when she gets back.
Oh, come on, dad.
That's exactly. I was like, dad, you got to get your shit together.
Yeah.
He sounded like he just had like three kids in the back of the car just screaming. And I was just like, okay, just have her give us a call back when she gets back and we can get you back on the books.
Duct tape two of the kids to the car. Take the third in for the.
Yeah, do what some you gotta of these do. People.
This is what happens when you meet a stranger in the Alps.
What's that from?
It's the Big Lebowski, and it's when you fuck a stranger in the ass.
Oh my god! Wow. What a modifier there.
The main hilarious. One I remember from Happy Gilmore was, and it's not even like they probably could have just played it right. They probably could have just played this. He says, like, I think it's Carl Weathers, like when the alligator like eats his ball or whatever. He's like, cough it up. Or no, I think it is Adam Sandler. He says like, cough it up, you dirty bastard, or something like that. And they changed it to like, cough it up, you dirty baboon.
Did Gator Golf, the toy game that got advertised all over TV in the 90s, come out after or before that movie now, I wonder?
I got to think it had to be before that.
Yeah.
In my mind, that came out when I was pretty young. That was actually a pretty cool toy.
Nothing could be greater than playing a game of golf with a gator.
Oh my god, I knew it was going to be set up, but still Gator caught me golf. Off guard.
Gator Golf and Mr. Bucket, those were both like
pretty similar. Yeah, balls pop out of his mouth. Yeah.
Those are like a pretty similar like mechanic to them, though, I feel.
Oh, big time, man. Yeah,
I never had either one, but they both look like they like worked pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, every time I ever saw one in action.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, that was a cool game.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to have this like jumping crickets game, or not? It was like my cousins had it. You like had to like flick them into like a bucket.
Yeah,
that was a really cool game. What was that called?
I think it was, ants in my pants, was it?
Maybe they ants had that. I think that was a different game. That was a different game. I think.
I know. I'm trying to think of the mechanics of these physical. Man, there were
some cool games.
I have to stop this recording, but I remember Keita Takahashi, the creator of Katamari Damacy, was asked, I think, for either Giant Bomb or Waypoint to give his like game of the year for like a year, like a couple years back. And he was like, I don't know, I've not been playing video games, but my sons have been playing a lot with these toys, so let me rank these toys. And it was just like all of the, like, the Shoot the Moon game where you move the, like, two, like, metal bars for a marble to, like, roll down.
Ooh,
like, he's like, that's a pretty good, well-designed game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I love you, Keita Takahashi. Never change.
That's make amazing. Katamari, you can do whatever the hell you want.
I bought Watam and I still haven't played it.
Oh god, I forgot about that game.
I forgot about that game too.
Wow, they came out a little while back too, didn't it? At this point
he's kind of moved on to just like making art pieces as video games and less like games with structure, which I'm also very happy for.
Yeah it could be just an experience. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right, I am stopping my recording.
Let's stop recording.
Sounds good. In unless Babe Ruth is coming in for the appointment. Don't worry about it. They're not going pro. You know, you never know, but sometimes I just want to be like, your kid missing swim practice, not going to matter. Yeah. Not going to matter. Just come to this appointment. Like, if you want an appointment at 4 p.m., we don't have many of them, just skip swim practice on Wednesday.
Reminds me of that, like, Chris Farley sketch where he's like, is that Bill Shakespeare over there? Can't see.
I forgot about that one. God, he was so fucking funny. He was like one guy that was like pretty much a one trick pony, but it just
he was good at that trick.
Very good.
And he just did it with so much charisma and energy that it was just like it's not getting old for him, so it's not getting old for me.
Yep.
I don't know. He had a magic, I don't know. Cause sometimes like I used to love like Adam Sandler and stuff, but his shit's old, you know? Like I don't really want to see an Adam Sandler.
We were all
movie
in
anymore,
the 90s.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I don't know, I've said this before to you guys, but Happy Gilmore holds up. I saw that recently. God damn, that movie holds up. Like amazingly well.
Carl Weathers is in that movie, ain't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Chubbs.
Yeah.
It's all in the hips.
Damn bastard took my arm.
God.
Oh man. The TV edit is also great. All the different.
Oh my God. I'm sure
they like went out of their way to like edit in like different words for the cursing and stuff like that. It's just like, it's hysterical. It's almost
funny. With
a movie
like that, you got it. Like at some point, the TV edit becomes the canonical version of the movie, mm-hmm. because how many times people have watched it that way?